The Sunday School lesson that we're going to study today in the Warren County Radio Bible School is about Jesus and sinners. The lesson text comes from Mark chapter 2, and we read that in our last class when we were together, but we didn't get to read the devotional reading. I'm going to begin there in just a moment. The devotional reading is the 32nd Psalm. Now, before I read that, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me turn to the 32nd Psalm and read our devotional reading. It is a Psalm of David, Maskil. That's what it says in the superscription to this psalm. And here's the psalm itself. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Jehovah imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through all my groanings all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was changed as with the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this, let every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou wilt preserve me from trouble. Thou wilt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will counsel thee with mine eye upon thee. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings must be a bit and bridle to hold them in, since they will not come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in Jehovah, loving kindness shall compass him about. Be glad in Jehovah, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now we want to read and study this Sunday school lesson. It's prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 15th, 1928, about Jesus and sinners. And in the helps and hint for the teacher, it says you need to read chapter 2, that's Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And here's what we read. And when he entered again into Capernaum, after some days it was noised that he was in the house, and many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room for them, no, not even about the door. And he spake the word unto them. Going to Elam's notes, we read, after his preaching tour throughout all Galilee, Jesus entered again into Capernaum after some days. That is, when the excitement created over his many miracles of healing and casting out demons had quieted down. Jesus could not enter into the city, but remained without in desert places. Mark 1:45. He now entered quietly into Capernaum, for it was noised or reported or rumored that he was in the house. The margin says that he was at home. Jesus had no home of his own, Matthew 8 and verse 20. But he dwelt at Capernaum, Matthew 4, 13, in a house occupied by some friend, probably Peter, Mark 1, 29, as at Bethany his home was at Lazarus and his sisters. How can we now have Jesus in our homes? What a blessing to have Him make His home with us. If our hearts are clean and pure, Christ will delight to dwell in them. We can tell how He would treat Christ if He were here on earth, as He was then, by the way we treat the poorest, humblest, and weakest of His disciples. In order to understand the story that follows, it is necessary to have a clear idea of an Oriental house. The houses are usually one story, with a flat roof, and the outside stairs to the roof, for during the heat of summer the family always slept there. The rooms are large. A house of the better class consisted generally of a blank wall facing a street with a narrow doorway in the center opening into a courtyard to which there is no other access. Around three sides of the square are attached chambers, sometimes wholly or partially enclosed, sometimes with only pillars supporting the roof, between which curtains may be hung. The principal, a reception room, is on the side facing the entrance. At the further end of it, against the wall, runs a raised dais with a few cushions. Besides these, and perhaps a few scraps of carpet, there's rarely any furniture. The poor houses have no upper story. Where there is an upper story, or not, the roof is invariably flat, covered with earth and lime, whitewashed, and frequently pressed down by the use of stone rollers. This house was covered with tiles, we read in Luke chapter 5 and verse 19. The flat roof was furnished with battlements around the edge to prevent people from falling off. As soon as it was understood that Jesus was in the house, great crowds gathered to see and to hear Him. So there was no longer room for them, no, not even at the door. The room was full, the court was full, the narrow street in which the gate opened was full. Among the crowds were Pharisees and doctors of the law, who were scribes, and who had come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, Luke 7:15, attracted by His fame and to inquire into these new and strange things which were taking place. And He spake the word unto them, Mark chapter 2 and verse 2, that is, the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 4, 17. The pure gospel, which heals the sin-sick soul, is the only thing worthy to be preached to dying audiences. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. I will read Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, "And they come, bringing unto Him a man sick of the palsy, born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay." Palsy is a contraction of paralysis, and then included more than what we now call paralysis. It then included catalepsy, or the cramps, or tendinitis, the locked jaw. This poor paralytic could not walk. But four kind friends bore him in arms of love to Jesus. When they approached the house, they could not reach Jesus. They could not come nigh unto Him for the crowd. The street about the door being full, they could not reach the door. Finding no other way to reach Jesus, they ascended the outer stairs to the roof, broke it up, or dug through it, and let down the sick man on his bed in the midst of the crowd before Jesus. It was not very difficult to lower him through the low, flat roof. If any damage were done to the roof, it could be repaired easily. The more important thing was to reach Jesus. Well, we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. Their faith, well, that means the faith of the five persons, the paralytic and the four who bore him. It says Jesus was seeing their faith. Then their faith could be seen. It was seen in the efforts to get into the presence of Jesus. They overcame all difficulties. They had all confidence in Christ's power to heal if they could get to Him, and they manifested strong faith in surmounting all the difficulties which lay in their way. We read in the book of James that faith, apart from works, is barren. This principle of God's dealing with men runs through the whole Bible. Hebrews 11 is an illustration of this, of the long, worthy list of the faithful enumerated in that chapter. All did something by faith. When God specifies a certain act in order to a blessing, such as marching around the walls of Jericho, that act by faith must be performed, Hebrews 11 and verse 30. By faith, the bitten Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent and were healed. Numbers 21 and verse 9. They could not have been healed by looking up a tree or not looking at all. Their faith must be expressed in the specific act that God required. There was no such act required during Jesus' personal ministry on earth in order to be healed or pardoned. Hence, any manifestation of faith in an earnest effort to reach Jesus was acceptable. For instance, touching the hem of his garment, anointing him with ointment, and kissing his feet, and washing them in tears of humility and penitence, or as in this lesson. But faith which did not lead to action did not lead to the blessing. Just before he ascended to heaven, Christ ordained certain specific acts in which faith in him is expressed. In partaking of the Lord's Supper, faith in the body and blood of Jesus is shown, and his death is proclaimed. And in baptism is manifested faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, Colossians 2 and verse 12. This faith is not manifested in performing some other acts or in doing nothing at all. To be pardoned now, Jesus has ordained that people must believe in him, repent of all their sins, and be baptized into his name. We read, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Faith, trust, and confidence in Christ always leads one to do just what Christ demands. Faith neither does less or more than God requires. Such is not faith. In disobedience to God, one cannot be saved. People fail to obey God's specific requirements, not because of their great faith, but because of their lack of faith. Faith takes God at His word. Jesus, full of the tenderness and compassion, kindly said, Son, thy sins are forgiven. He healed him and forgave his sins. And in this, Jesus proved his power to forgive sins. Let me read to you Mark chapter 2, beginning verse 6. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak? He blasphemous, for who can forgive sins but one, even God? And straightway Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, said unto them, Why reason these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven? Or to say, Arise, tuck up thy bed, and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, Take up thy bed, and go to thy house.